We've all seen how adversaries, whether on the military battlefield or in an election campaign or even in a family dispute, sometimes try to degrade each other. It's an all-too-common tactic, and it trivializes a fundamental truth, that all people have an essential value and are entitled to be treated with common decency. And Donna Hicks, a conflict mediator, sometimes brought in to stimulate dialogue in world hotspots, has noticed the deep wounds people carry when their human dignity is not respected.
Because I'm a psychologist, I tend to listen for what isn't being spoken at the tables when we were doing dialogues between parties. And it didn't matter where it was, whether it was Israel-Palestine or a dialogue in Sri Lanka or a dialogue in Colombia. I observed the same thing, and that is that when the parties were talking about all of the objective issues, all the political issues that needed to be resolved and that needed to have, you know, some kind of a compromise in order to get passed and to have a settlement over.
Such as?
Oh, so, for example, if we were in Israel, we would be talking about borders. We would be talking about the refugees and what's going to happen to all the people who were displaced in 1948. What are we going to do about them? Where are we going to put the capital of the country? And I call those the objective political issues. But at the same time, I would also see something that was happening that what I call was a conversation that took place under the table.
Kind of the unspoken conversation.
The unspoken conversation. And it was this undercurrent that went, again, I think of it as under the table because it was, they were these emotional reactions that were so powerful that they could hijack a really good set of ideas to settle some of these what I call political issues. And yet, the minute one of these what I now call dignity violations took place and this emotional reaction would take over the, you know, the conversation, everything would stop.
Donna Hicks is the author of Dignity. She's an associate at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard and also teaches at Columbia University. She says when someone tries to assault your sense of dignity, the experience is so primal it can trigger a series of automatic reactions, as if your body feels it is under threat of physical violence. This can happen, Hicks says, even for people with a thick skin.
It's not that you don't feel it, right? It's not that you don't, if you're one of these people who can just brush it off and say, well, you know, it's his problem. The fact is you still have a reaction in your body. The body still reacts, but the difference is in the way you interpret what that event means for you personally. So, and this is a lot of the work that I do with people when I do dignity coaching, is to get them to realize that when somebody violates your dignity, you're going to have a reaction, you're going to feel it. But the meaning that you make of it, you know, what you do with that is really dependent on how secure you are in your own sense of worthiness. This is a lot of the work that I focus on right here, is getting people to reinterpret, because the research is really clear that if you can interpret these sorts of events in a way that reframes it away from thinking, oh, if that person violated me, then I must be unworthy. That's the major flaw in the thinking that we want to get around.
Or that therefore I must retaliate.
Or therefore I must retaliate, right. But that takes a lot of work.
Which is why these conflicts are so deeply entrenched, because the work is hard. But the alternative to doing the work is constant pain and crisis. So unfortunately,
exactly,
life offers us those choices. Worked with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who served as the Anglican Bishop of South Africa and was winner in 1984 of the Nobel Peace Prize. I wonder what you may have observed in his manner and how he has interacted with people that gave him the evident qualities he has of a peacemaker.
Well, I would say that first and foremost, he has a very clear sense of his worthiness. He doesn't have doubts about his sense of value and worth. He's a very religious man, obviously, and he is, you know, his connection to his creator is it's as strong as a bond that I've ever seen in any religious person. So he's really clear about his own divinity and his own sense of worthiness and his own, and yet at the same.
So that makes him very solid.
It seems, but there's another half of that equation. That's half of it. But the other part that I think is equally as moving to me is that he understands that he has a sense of humility that prevents him from being narcissistic. You know, because a lot of people think that they're worthy and grandiose and they're wonderful and they're kings and queens and all of that. A lot of people have that characteristic, but they don't have the humility that balances that sense of value and that sense of worth. So it's in that balance between knowing that he's no better than any of the rest of us, and yet recognizing that he is a child of God.
Can you give us an example of either of those halves?
So we're filming these encounters between victims and perpetrators in the conflict in Northern Ireland. It was a few years ago. And what we did was we had, let's just say, for example, we had an IRA man who sat across the table from a British police officer whom he nearly killed, whom the IRA man nearly killed. And we were facilitating this discussion between these two men in the hope that we could achieve some kind of healing and recognition and a sense of reconciliation between these two men, but as they represent the two communities in Northern Ireland. And so at the end of, oh gosh, it must have been 8 hours of taping of these conversations between these two men. At the end, they had a beautiful reconciliation, and it was really quite extraordinary. We were all moved. And so the Archbishop closed the session, this day-long session, and he said, "We are humbled by you. We are so grateful to you that you made yourself vulnerable in this way and that you were able to, you know, be here together in this most respectful way." And he said, we have you to thank. You were magnificent here, and you made us all bigger people by watching what you've done and how you've managed to reconnect here.